Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by Tierlawn.
Good morning and welcome to Farm View. Well, as usual, it's Kieran O'Connor here with your weekly farming programme. And indeed, my very first show of the new year, I want to take the opportunity to wish you all a very happy, peaceful and safe 2026. Well, on this, our first programme of the new year, I'll talk to outgoing IFA County Chairman John Heffernan about his four-year term as chairman in Waterford and also about the challenges facing the farming and agri industry ahead of Monday night's AGM. We'll also preview the upcoming Positive Farmers Conference, which takes place in the Radisson Blue on Wednesday week. We'll talk to well-known colleague and milk supplier Gillian O'Sullivan, who's also one of the organising committee of the Positive Farmers Conference. And plus, as always, we'll have our farming calendar. Well, on Monday night next, Waterford IFA hold their AGM, and indeed a very important AGM with the National President, Francie Gorman, in attendance. But more importantly, from a local point of view, it's the final meeting for the outgoing chairman, John Heffernan, who joins us now on the programme. First of all, John, you're stepping down after your 4 years. What a hectic 4 years you had as Waterford IFA county chairman.
It was, Kieran, and a very busy time. I never realised when I was taking it on that it could be so busy. But nevertheless, I enjoyed my 4 years, and I'd have to say I was blessed that I had the support of a very good executive. That we had. We had a good rapport between us, and I acknowledge that my big support from Ned Morrissey, my secretary. Yeah. I have to acknowledge that, but we worked well together, and we had a good relationship, and I think we achieved a lot in the 4 years.
And John, as regards the IFA, when did you get involved? You're a milk supplier, an all year round liquid milk supplier in the 4 mile water area. How long have you been involved in the IFA, and have you been involved in various committees before you were appointed chairman 4 years ago?
Oh, I was. Yeah, I started off about 20 years ago in livestock. And I had to cut my teeth at a difficult time with the introduction of the grid at that time, and there was a lot of controversy, and it was a tough role to be in during that period. But I went on to rural development after that, and then became vice chair.
And you worked with some very strong personalities in that time, who actually, I'm sure, guided you before you became chair.
Of course, I'd have to acknowledge. I suppose I started off with livestock under Michael Keane. Then I worked with John Fitzgerald, Lord to Mercy, and John from Kilmeaden. And then Kevin Kearsey, I worked with Kevin as vice chair. And we had some good men before that too. Working all night, but yeah, they were some great men to work with.
John, over the 4 years, obviously highs and lows. When you look back at the 4 years, what stands out for you over that 4 year period?
I'd say the first serious challenge we had was I got involved with a group of young farmers who were badly caught up in fixed milk, and we had to do a fixed milk price contract that at the time they found themselves in a very bad place, and we had to do a lot of work to try and get support for those. And I have to acknowledge that Tierlawn came good with a support package. Okay. Wouldn't have been what everyone wanted, but at the end of the day, it had to be a compromise. But we have to be grateful for that. And that was a very tough, long campaign, and came across some very stressful situations. A lot of young people with a lot of pressure on them to try and find their way through. But it came good in the end. The high point I'd have to acknowledge, I'd say, was the tractorcade. We had four here in Waterford. Yeah. Waterford was the first one in Kilmac Thomas. Credit to the lads. And we got going down there on a Tuesday night. By Thursday, there were tractorcades all over Ireland.
You might tell our listeners the reason for the tractorcade.
At that time, there was a lot of farmers protesting across Europe. And the big cry was bad paddock prices and bureaucracy and red tape. And of course, the biggest thing which was hitting us here at home at that time was we had 2 years of very bad weather. Yeah. So you had bad weather, bad prices. And of course, then with the whole environmental lobby. Yeah. Pointing the finger towards farmers, saying that we were the reason why we had climate change and everything that was going wrong was the farmers' fault and the cows' fault. But look, that wasn't the case. Okay. And I think that the support we brought out that time with all those hundreds of tractors gave the public the real true picture.
And you got good support from the general public, John. I was flabbergasted by that nationally, particularly here in Waterford. I thought the general public, you really got that message across.
It was really heartening driving along in your tractor and you going down the quay in Waterford and people giving you the thumbs up. That acknowledgement from the general public stood out a mile at that time, that they actually see what we and appreciated right. what we were fighting against, and they were behind us, and that meant such a difference. But like, you know, that's what we do as IFA. We have to stand up and acknowledge that if there's a problem out there, we are the ones that have to take it on and get delivery for the farmers, and we do the best we can.
So obviously you had the fixed milk price, the tractor kit. They'd be your two standout moments from your 4-year term.
They would, yeah. I'd have to say that it all took a lot of hard work, but that the farmers right through. Of course, the big thing I have to acknowledge as well is the big night in Waterford. We had South Kilkenny and we had Wexford. We had 80 tractors that night from Wexford that came across the new bridge.
From Wexford alone?
From Wexford alone, yeah. And it was and the scene that night in the city with the tractors all back out at Sleeve Rue and all out back out into from both directions. Yeah. It was fantastic. Yeah. But it was just an acknowledgement. And that we were in trouble. Another great thing about that whole idea was that the young farmers needed a way to express their frustration, and coming together on the tractors was a great way to get them involved, because you know, unfortunately we have challenges around our age structure in our organisation and all that, and it was a great way to get young people involved, and that was very important.
And John, of course, as IFA County Chairman, you're a dairy farmer yourself, you've all the various committees, you meet every month, and of course then there's the national scene as well. So had you a lot of interplay both nationally and indeed locally, as indeed county meetings every month, and how often would you have to go to the national executive?
Yeah, well, we'd have a county meeting every month, and then in Dublin to the National Council maybe every 2 months. Sometimes we'd go every month, depending on what was going on, what issues. But like that was always something that could change, because if something happened, we had to move and we'd have to have a meeting and make decisions about it. But I'd have to say another side of all this, of course, is that one of the legacies I have is the bond of friendship that I formed with all the people that I met through IFA like over the years. And there's no doubt about it, but you have to have, you know, strength in numbers, and you have to have the ability to communicate and get on to get a solution to whatever the problem is by building alliances with like-minded individuals. Like we're a whole conglomerate of so many different types of farmers and different systems, but we you know, those that with similar goals have to pull together to achieve what we need to do.
Now, on nationally, indeed, across Europe and globally, of course, there's the whole environmental issues, there's the nitrates, there's the Mercosur, which is a huge one from the beef farmer point of view, and of course the Common Agricultural Policy. So you've been over in Brussels just before Christmas as regards the Mercosur. Obviously, the fact that the decision on the nitrates has been kicked back has been a big boost for you. And then, of course, the Mercosur now, there's a bit of a question mark after what the IFA and indeed the Journal found out as regards antibiotics and hormones being used in Brazilian and South American beef.
I suppose if going back to my early days, almost 20 years ago, I done a sit-in up in the EU offices as a protest one night on Mercosur. That's how long this is going on. And I done my first interview on WLR the following morning, explaining why we did it and the reasons why our whole system was under threat. That was nearly 20 years ago. The very same issues are there today. Like, you know, our template of how we produce our goods has always been built around increasing standards and the highest possible
quality, sustainability, and now the postponement of the Mercosur vote. Obviously, you welcome it, but obviously, it's a bit like the nitrates. Is it just literally being kicked down the road because the bigger countries in Europe, Germany and France, and these have other reasons to keep the South American deal live from their point of view.
Of course, the whole European model is under pressure because there's a big urgency now about building up a defence budget, and that's hitting us hard because, you know, they're afraid of Putin and they want to try and form some kind of.
So obviously, agriculture has been put in the back burner.
It is, and we're being hit with a cut of 20% on the cap budget, and that's very serious. And then as regards to Mercosur, I'd say that it's been well highlighted, that the whole issue around, you know, there's no equivalent to standards. the people like Adam Woods that were out there, who yes. interviewed out in Brazil. They're 20 years behind us. Mm. It's not achievable. That the
It's not a level playing field, and we've such a high standard, and indeed the farmers are costing a lot of money producing this quality sustainable product, and now this product from South America, totally substandard. But indeed, the fact that there's a postponement is a help. Likewise with the nitrates, that's been huge for dairy farmers. Again, there's a 3-year exemption. How happy are you about that?
I'm happy with that, because I think it gives a bit of breathing space, and I think there's a lot of work to be done around getting a level playing pitch on water quality. Right. I think that there's a lot coming down the tracks here that IFA need to work on to try and ensure that we have the derogation again in 3 years' time. But I think it's a good space that we're in, and I think that there's work being done, that there's a future there around derogation long term. That's my
and obviously and finally on the main issues looking ahead, of course, common agricultural policy, again a crucial time, and as you mentioned earlier, the budget, getting that budget for the common agricultural policy, it's such a huge part of the Irish agri scene.
It is, of course, and like the whole cheap food policy and food security, like all our eggs are in one basket in a way, and that we've gone down we followed EU, you know, law, and we've invested in it all by the book, and we've bored BIA, and we've all the structures here in this country which are there to implement the standards, and now the standards are being all undermined, and it's very difficult as farmers to watch this happen and be in this space, and we have to stand up and be counted if there's further protests needed around this whole Mercosur. What I don't like is going back to this safeguard mechanism that is being talked about to protect our industry here. That if there's market fluctuations and we lose some of our the value of our product, that they will step in with safeguards. I don't believe that there's any system going to be put in place that will be good enough to give the farmers the support when they need it, because there's always fluctuations in markets, and it's going to be a difficult one going forward.
John, finally, your 4-year term comes to an end on Monday night. It's the AGM. As I mentioned in the intro, National President Francie Cormann will be present, but you also have a very special presentation at Monday night's AGM of Waterford IFA.
I've honorary life membership has been awarded to Betty Coughlin down from Kinsale Bay. And Betty has been a very loyal IFA supporter and a great active woman on the Farm Family Committee. Herself, Margaret Leahy, and Mary Flynn and Marion Luby have built that up, and many others. Yeah. But Betty, we're delighted to have the opportunity to acknowledge all the hard work she's done. And of course, she was a great help to James as his term as county chair. And I'd like at this stage also to mention my own wife, Catherine, and Niall at home, and thank them for everything they've done to leave me do the job for IFA in the last 4 years.
Well, John, it's been 4 years since I've been interviewing you. It's been a pleasure dealing with you. I know your term comes to an end, but I know you're not sailing off into the sunset. You'll be still very much involved. But once again, Waterford IFA AGM Monday night, that's the 5th at 8 o'clock, Lawless Hotel. John Heffernan, County Chairman, listen, thanks for all your contributions over the 4 years, and the best of luck in the future. I know, as I say, you won't be sailing off into the sunset as regards IFA.
No, I won't, and I just like to say to people, please come along next Monday night. Francie Cormann is doing an awful lot of hard work, our national president, and this will be an opportunity for you to meet him and hear what Francie has to say.
Outgoing IFA Chairman John Heffernan, thanks a million.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by Tierlawn.
And welcome back to part two of Farm View. Now let's have a look at some items from our farming calendar. Firstly, our farmer markets and country markets. And as always, we have a huge array of top quality farm fresh artisan food available every week across Waterford City and County. Indeed, the markets return next week as follows. Dungarvan Farmers Market returns on Thursday morning next in Grattan Square, while on Friday next the 9th, we have Waterford Country Market St. Olaf's Hall, and also Dungarvan Country Markets Causeway Tennis Club in Abbeyside, both returning, will run from 9 to 2 throughout the season every Friday. While on Saturday morning next, we have the return of Tremor Farmers Market, Priest Road, Tremor, Waterford Farmers Market, John Roberts Square, as well as the return of Strably Farmers Market, running every Saturday from 9 until 1. Turning to our livestock marts, and both our local livestock marts return this weekend. Waterford Ross Mart this Saturday, the very first cattle and calf sale of the year takes place in Waterford Ross Mart, with the first sheep sale on Monday the 5th as well. While Dungarvan March will therefore cattle and calf sale of the new year will be on Monday next, the 5th of January. Now, the annual Positive Farmers Conference takes place on Wednesday week, the 14th of January. And for more information, you just go to www.positivefarmers.ie. We'll preview the big event with Gillian O'Sullivan in part two. Turning then to Wofford IFA, as we mentioned in part one, Wofford IFA AGM, Monday evening next, the 5th of January, Lawler's Hotel at 8 o'clock, where special guest is National President of the IFA, Francie Gorman. Finally, on the point-to-point front, our very first point-to-point of the new year takes place on Sunday next with the United Hunts point-to-point at Ballindennis Watergrass Hill, while also on Sunday in Wicklow with the Shalala Hunts point-to-point at Tinnehealy. And don't forget a date for your diary, Sunday the 25th of January with the annual Dungarvan point-to-point at Killosra. Well, one of the highlights every year in the dairy sector every year is the annual Positive Farmers Conference. Hard to believe it's the 26th year of this conference, which has become hugely popular and hugely beneficial and influential over the years. And I'm delighted to be joined by a County Wofford dairy farm who's part and parcel of the organising committee. That's Gillian O'Sullivan. Gillian, hard to believe the 26th year of the Positive Farmers Conference.
That's it, and it's getting better and better, I'd like to say, but it is we've changed our format this year from a 2-day to a 1-day, really focused 1-day conference this year on January 14th down in the Radisson in Cork. So it's lining up to be a great day. Yeah.
Now, Positive Farmers, I think the whole concept ideally was looking at things really with a different lens.
That's it, and the way we see it, it's the best investment you can make for 2026 because it's investing in your own knowledge to enable better decision making for the year ahead. So I just think that, you know, that it's a massive investment for yourself.
Pulling it together, the expertise, the farmers who have been through it, it's getting that agenda and looking at the program for Wednesday 14th, really, you've a fantastic mix.
It's very focused. We're starting out with, it's the state of play kind of opening presentation, and that's with Mike Murphy and Dr. Brendan Horne.
Of course, Mike, one of the founders of the Positive Farmers Conference.
That is, it wouldn't be a conference without Mike. Yeah, so, and it's just to kind of lay the groundwork, lay what are the foundational stuff that's really, really important to get right on your farm. Looking back and looking forward. So that's going to be that's a critical one to start out with.
And of course, the big thing at the moment, the nitrates, is going on and on. We have the extension now, and indeed it's, some might say, kicking the can down the road, but look, at least the extension is there. It's such a key part of the industry going forward.
It is, yeah, nitrates. When you think about those big costs on farms, I mean, feed, fertilizer, both of which lead down the road towards nitrates. I mean, these are really, really important topics. But again, back to the basics, it's cost control. And that's what Session 2 is all about. It's cost control, managing preferred profitability. And we have Dennis Finnegan there from, he's a very top dairy farmer from County Cork. And he's going to look at how costs can creep into your business and how he tackled it to get on top of those costs. And that, I think that's a really, really key one for
and
this.
And hearing from a farmer like yourself out on the ground doing it day in, day out, it's so important. And farmers love hearing from farmers.
This is it. You can't beat the practical experience. And every session we have a farmer who is doing that, doing that practice or doing that, whatever it is in the topic. We have somebody who has boots on the ground experience for that topic and subject.
Now, of course, also animal health, and I think you spoke to me before we came on air. It's such a crucial one, and in particular, we've been promoting the last few weeks, of course, is the whole hoof care element, and you, with your veterinary background, of course, is very much close to your heart.
That's exactly it. And this one comes under the heading of cow longevity. And when you think about it, we mentioned those big ticket items, feed, fertilizer, labor, these are huge costs in farms, but we never really think about the cost of heifer rearing. And if you think about, if you want to take 25 heifers, so standard farm, 25 heifer calves from birth to the milking parlor, it's going to cost in the region of 43,000.
Wow.
Massive cost. And sometimes it can be death by 1,000 costs because nobody's going to add all these things up. But that's the average cost of taking a calf from birth to the parlour, €1,750. Okay, and that's Irish figures. If we look at the UK, we're looking at £1,900. So this is like as in similar figures. All of these costs have crept up considerably in the last 5 years through inflation.
Those costs rise is so important.
But long game. So you've got, as I said, death by 1,000 costs. It's feed, fertilizer, milk replacer, tags, wormers, vaccines, time, labour, AI, everything. and you tot it all up and this is the figure you come to. So in that sense, if we're going to invest a significant amount of money in our heifers, we want them to perform as best as they can in the parlour and also to stay in that milking system and in the herd for as long as possible. And that's where we have Dorian Carden, Dr. Dorian Carden, who is a farmer favourite.
A legend.
A legend, as you say. Yeah, cannot wait to hear her speak about just the health aspects of how we rear our young stock to keep them in the parlour and to get the most out of them.
And of course, culling and we'll say milk recording is so important, because there are certain cows there not performing, but they're costing you equally as much.
This is it. It's all those data points that you mentioned. It's cell count. It's lameness. It is all of those things that we can do small. It's all fine tuning. What we can do to keep the cows in the herd for longer. And as you said, back to basics, milk recording, cell count. What we're doing around lameness in herds. So it builds on both sides, the cow longevity piece, because it is rearing those heifers to get the most out of them in that first 24-month period, and then keeping them in the herd for as long as possible.
Now, the theme of your conference, Next Generation Profitability, really is what it's all about, keeping people involved in the industry, because there's a huge problem with the average age within the industry in Ireland, and getting people involved. Next Generation Profitability, I love the title.
Yeah, and that, as you said there, average age of a dairy farmer is 59. And I think on the last survey or questionnaire, there was 50% without an identified successor. That, so you can imagine in the next 10 years, the amount of, we'd say, the structural change that will occur in dairy farming with farmers retiring and different opportunities that might arise from that, that is going to be massive. And when that's what our last session is focused around, where young farmers who have taken on fully leased farms and that have been hugely successful, and all the challenges they've had to overcome with that. So we've had Colin McLear, who came down with his family from County Down, and he's now on a leased farm in County Kilkenny. We also have the story of Peter Farrell and his wife, Kira Lynch, who are based in County Meath, and they've gone from managing their own herd to now 1,000 cows across a number of platforms.
And she's been very, we'll say, influential for a woman who came from a non-farming background, but my God, has she hit the ground running and made a huge reputation for herself.
I mean, if there's one success story you want to hear about, it's Kira Lynch. And she's, as her on Instagram, she's high heels to heifers. So that says a lot about what her tag is about. So it's a superb story. She is a woman to be reckoned with, and a great message to come from their session as well.
And of course, a lot of international delegates over the years, a huge number from the UK. Before we came on air, you mentioned that you have a French delegation coming.
We have 18 farmers coming from Brittany. And again, just north of Brittany, we've been over there in the past with my own discussion group. There's a cohort of grass-based dairy farming that goes on up there that we're not aware of, but also, where do they get their information around grass-based dairy? They come to Ireland, because that's, we're all experts in from our research in Chagas.
Because the French would be totally different types, so going to their own ag department and an advisory wouldn't be of any help to them. So Ireland is next best stop, or else down to New Zealand.
This is it. Ireland is, so we 18 coming from Britain. We also have a big cohort coming from the UK, because when it comes to that experience and expertise around grass-based, profitable, low-cost farm systems, it's over here that they're going to come for it.
One of the highlights for me over the years is the networking that goes on, because while the conference and the speakers, and you've what a lineup you have, and great practicality as well as the experts, is that networking opportunity, because you're meeting the cream of the cream, like-minded people meeting and chatting about the industry they love.
The networking opportunity, again, even though we're on a one-day conference this year, it's the networking is happening after the conference day. So it's that evening, and that we have our gala dinner, and everybody getting together for networking afterwards. And the big part is that we've got so many young people coming along to the conference, especially over the last 3 years with a student competition.
I was just going to say, that's been a great initiative for you. Student competition, not alone do you award the top students for their projects, but also they're there for the day and they have an opportunity to network as well.
Which is hugely valuable, because what do we want in this industry? We want young people who are bright, motivated and interested in dairy farming. We want them to be the next generation of dairy farmers. So where are they going to meet and where are they going to learn? It's going to be at conferences like this, where you've got like-minded people coming together and the opportunities that arrive from that, because I've seen it firsthand. It's hugely positive.
Now, the work-life balance, indeed, looking at some of your tag, like sustainable dairy farmer is more than just profit. You can always buy cows, but you can't buy more time with your family.
It is about balance, and we've often promoted that over the years. And it's probably one session that we might be lacking this year, because other years we've looked at that work-life balance part.
You've covered it year on year.
We really have, but it is a core principle of the Positive Farmers and the philosophy there, that you can, you know, have a profitable business but a really, really healthy work-life balance, and it, you know, that your family and your family time is as valuable as the time you spend on the farm. So it is that's a core principle of
the You know it yourself, you're running the farm out in Collingham with your husband Neil. You introduced the once a day milking to give that work-life balance, and indeed to people on the outside might not have heard this, they might say once a day milking, but you've proved that it can be done, and all because you want a good work-life balance with your young family.
Yeah, myself and Neil, we have four kids. We're milking once a day for the last 16 years, and that has been a core part of our business, in that in the summertime we had to get all the work done in the morning, and from maybe 9:30, 9 in the morning, the rest of the day is our own. We've got that great flexibility built into our business. And that, again, maybe that's why we've been asked to participate in the Positive Farmers Committees, is that we're probably ticking the box for the work-life balance.
Well, definitely a lot of people questioned it at the time, but you've proved that it can be done literally in spades. As regards the Positive Farmers Conference, as we mentioned, the Radisson Blue Hotel in Cork, it's on Wednesday 14th. As regards booking, and indeed, I presume at this stage there's a big uptake already.
We've had huge response this year. We're considerably ahead of bookings from last year. So it'd be great to get in for anyone who's looking to get tickets. Get in early. Get your tickets online. It's www.positivefarmers.ie. You can get your tickets there. You can also get them on the day. But the way things are moving, I think just get in early and get book them online.
Well, listen, it was in Radisson Blue last year, an excellent venue. I really enjoyed the Positive Farmers Conference over the years. Can't believe it's 26 years. Really looking forward to it. Wednesday the 14th of January, Radisson Blue Hotel. More information, go to www.positivefarmers.ie. Gillian O'Sullivan, listen, it's great to have a local woman involved on the organising committee. Keep up the great work. The Positive Farmers Conference, and the title this year, Next Generation Profitability, says it all. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Kieran.
And before I go on the racing fund, first of all, cross channel, I want to say congrats and well done to Dungarvan jock Sean Houlihan, was in the winner's enclosure at Haydock last weekend. While back at home over the Christmas period, knocking Butlerstown trainer Henry de Bromhead saddled no less than four winners, two at Leopardstown and two at Limerick, while Ballyduff upper owner Vincent Sheehan was also in the winner's enclosure at Limerick. Well, at Tramore on New Year's Day, it proved to be a great day for local trainers at Tramore on New Year's Day. Firstly, Henry saddled a fine double, which included the featured O'Driscoll's Irish Whiskey Chase, while local trainer John Flavin also saddled a very impressive winner of the last at New Year's Day's meeting in Tramore. Well, that's my lot for this week's programme. Once again, I want to thank John Keane for all he's helped in putting this week's programme together. So from myself, Kieran O'Connor, once again, I want to wish you all a very happy, peaceful and safe new year. And I look forward to your company again on FarmView for 2026.
FarmView with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by Tierlawn.